Welcome to the homily studio for the fourth Sunday of Easter, Sunday the 26th of April 2026. Wherever you are listening, you are welcome. Aware that many people are struggling in all kinds of different ways. You are especially in our thoughts and our prayers. You are not alone. I'm thinking of weather. I'm thinking of war. I'm sorry, I don't mean to continue with W words, but worries and all kinds of struggles. But for this time especially, let's know that we are united, not because we think the same about everything or any interest that we have, but united simply because we are striving to allow Christ to be the centre of our lives. That's what our conversation is. And as you are listening, you are not just a listener eavesdropping on the chat that the four of us have here in this room, but you are a participant because you are listening, and you may continue the conversation with others. Who do we have in this conversation here today in this room?
Kia ora tātou, call Teresa Edwards, toko ingoa. My name is Teresa Edwards, and I'm a teacher and a daughter and a mother, wife, and I work for the Diocese of Palmerston North. It's lovely to be here this afternoon.
Great, Teresa.
Kia ora koutou. I am Jelvin Cortez. I work for Te Kupinga Catholic Leadership Institute. I'm a mother of two adult children, and I'm based in Auckland. Lovely to be here.
Great, Jelvin.
Kia ora. I'm Martin Dion from Te Whanganui Ātara or Te Awakarangi on the banks of the Hutt River today. I'm usually working in office for Caritas in Wellington, but because of the bad weather, we're all working from home currently. So it's actually been a bit like COVID times for us because we're all online earlier. Now, I've got a family of three daughters, one of which is living with us currently.
And of course, we are recording on the Tuesday of the week in which this is published. So our prayer is that by the time you are listening, we know that people are safe and the weather has subsided. But in the meantime, we are united in prayer. And I often begin with the entrance antiphon, and people say to me, why? We never use the antiphon. Well, if we followed, and of course using a hymn is fine, there's no problem with that at all to begin the liturgy, but if we were following the Missal exactly, using every piece of scripture, the first words that we would hear as we gathered for the Eucharist this weekend would be these from Psalm 32. Let's make it our prayer. The merciful love of the Lord fills the earth. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Alleluia. The merciful love of the Lord fills the earth. So especially for those who are struggling to know the love of the Lord is filling the earth. And our Easter word, Alleluia. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
Okay, so it's the fourth Sunday in the season of Easter. It is also the Sunday that we know as Good Shepherd Sunday, taking its name from the Gospel reading. I'm not going to say any more about that now. I will later, but I'm interested in hearing what you do with that Good Shepherd theme. But that's not saying where we have to start. We can start anywhere. Who's ready?
Yeah, I'd like to start my reflection with the first reading. So, 3 weeks ago, we had baptisms on Easter Vigil, and we had 28 people baptized and received into the Catholic Church in our parish. And where at the parish I used to go to, they had like 30 people. And that's an immense increase from when I started my RCIA ministry about 10 years ago. And we've seen this increase anecdotally across the country and even around the world, because it's news everywhere, in America, in Europe, in Australia. Interestingly, there are a lot of young people. Even in our at CTC where I work, the demographics have changed a bit. We have now younger people studying theology, and that's so what may have started as curiosity has drawn them into something or someone, Jesus. And like Peter and the 11 in the first reading, a lot of people are part of this amazing work of the Holy Spirit. And that gives me hope, hope that conversion will continue for generations to come. But however, in the gospel, Jesus warns us of false shepherds. So it's Good Shepherd Sunday, but there's a warning there. False shepherds, he called them thieves and robbers, which is a very strong word. But I have something to say about that, but I will come back to it later and let everyone share their thoughts. Thank you.
Oh, Jovi, now you've filled us all with curiosity about what we're going to be waiting for. But we will come back to you.
I'll chip in with, because it was actually something from the first reading that struck me, it was the phrase cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart on hearing Peter's words. That struck me. It has struck me before, and I think it's because it's a phrase I don't actually expect to find in the gospel. And I wonder what the, not the gospel, sorry, the Acts in this case, in scripture. And I wonder what the original words in Greek probably were, whether it's a similar metaphor or different. But it really did strike me, and it, and thinking about it over several times, over several readings, that speaks to me of conversion and repentance, and also ongoing conversion and repentance. There's the conversion of, as Jalvine mentioned, people coming into the church, but there's also our ongoing conversion. Many times I do feel God has sort of struck me, or an event has struck me quite deeply. And I even now I don't feel I've fully responded, or it's still, there's a deeper thing, or a deeper calling. And just reflecting before on that theme, I remember reading when I was very young at university, Call to Conversion. Pretty sure it was a book by Jim Wallace from the Sojourners community, but he was, in my view, addressing very much the Christian community, those who are already believers, but reminding us of an ongoing call to conversion, to really repent and turn around. And that's what struck me in Peter's gospel. And it's just amazing gospel. He speaks boldly and forthrightly. They ask, what are we to do? And he says, just repent and be baptized, every one of you, and then 3,000 join that day.
And it's almost as if Peter in that particular reading is the voice of the shepherd. Like it's not ex exactly stated there, but as we go on through the readings, the voice of the shepherd is very strongly there. I sort of want to talk a little bit about the psalm. When I was doing my because I'm no theologian, but when I was doing a little bit of reading about the psalm, I've always, this is the psalm where I sang this at my father's funeral and my sister's funeral, and this is a I had no idea. It's a very comforting psalm, but I had no idea that the psalmist is apparently is running from enemies. And this is the psalmist dreaming of God as a perfect shepherd who provides everything he needs. Well, I had no idea about that, and it sort of puts a bit of a different view on the psalm. I still think it's very, very beautiful, and a real reminder that in our encounter with Christ and our encounter with the shepherd, we don't we have not we have everything that we need.
Well, it's a wonderful psalm, isn't it? They're wonderful scriptures. The Good Shepherd. And I'm thinking that the psalm too, just to pick up from where you left off there, Teresa, that the psalm is probably the best known and most often sung psalm out of the 150 psalms. And we can all think of singing it at the funerals of those we love in whatever Christian church we were at. Like it's across the board, and many different versions of it too. The most popular version has probably been Crimmin for us in New Zealand, or at least the Commonwealth in the last 100 years. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. They say that before then in the Catholic Church. So the reason it was made popular, this is a complete aside and off the track completely, but The Queen Mother wanted to have it at her wedding towards the old Scottish tune Crimmond, and then everyone, of course, wanted it because the royals had it. We want it, but before then, the tune that was often it was sung to was "O Breathe on Me, O Breath of God," which is "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want," which of course we could all sing. So it doesn't have to be to the Crimmond tune, but the fact that it's set to so many pieces of music is a sign of its popularity. It touches the heart. It cuts to the heart, to use the language that you've already quoted there, Martin. And I'm taken with that phrase, the heart, getting back to the root, the comfort of God, and seeing that on this Good Shepherd Sunday, which I want to bring in now as the work of the entire Christian community. Vocation Sunday is about the entire Christian community, but I do want to encourage those who are preaching to see every Sunday of the year as being about the vocation of all Christian people, and to actually grasp this Sunday as being a very particular vocation. Of course, I'm totally biased, but I love being a diocesan priest. And diocesan priests are, by definition, not those who live in monasteries and who the people come to, but diocesan priests are, at our heart, those who live among the people. Often we live in ones and twos among people in very small and rural communities. But that's what it is to be a diocesan priest. It's not the monastery that everyone comes to, or even the large presbytery that represents the monastery, but priests among people, which is the heart of the ministry of the diocesan priest. And after more than 40 years now of living as a diocesan priest, every one of these readings that we have today are really at the heart of ministry. The preaching, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, there's Peter preaching boldly. Well, yes, we are called to do that. But the shepherd, and we are, of course, the shepherd is not the priest. The shepherd is Christ. And the priest and the people together are rejoicing in having a good shepherd, who is Christ. Look, I could speak forever, but I'm going to stop because otherwise we do get we go down one track too much. But yes, Vocation Sunday, yes, everyone's vocation every Sunday of the year, and I encourage preachers to speak specifically about priesthood and diocesan priesthood in particular.
Yes, I feel very close to the diocesan priests because I work next door to the seminary. So, and the seminarians do their academic and intellectual formation from CTC. So it's really encouraging that we have a lot of young men who are saying yes to the priesthood. So, and yes, I encourage everyone, please pray for them, especially on Vocation Sunday. They really need our prayers. So going back to the gospel, there is so much to reflect on about this in light of what's happening around the world. So I'd like to bring that back into what's going on now, especially what's been said about war, just war, peace, morality, theology. But I mean, the gospel is clear here. Jesus says, and I'm paraphrasing a bit here, be careful who you listen to. And he further says, I am the gate for the sheep. And if we read further on in John's gospel, in verse 11 onwards, he says, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hears my voice and they listen to me. So that drives home to me, really, because the world is too noisy. And if we weed the noise out and really listen to the voice of the good shepherd, not the voice of the thieves or the robbers, we will know the truth. And it dovetails well with the psalm The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want, because Jesus came to give us life, and life to the full.
Go, Teresa.
Yes, the theme of voices, you've been called, voices calling, it sort of comes all the way through, doesn't it? I that this I just want to agree with you, Jalvine, and it really tautoko what you've said about the gospel, where it says, the sheep, they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers. And as I was reflecting on this reading, you're right, there's a lot of noise. There are voices calling us in all sorts of different ways. And, unless we are attuned to Christ's voice in our lives, the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can find ourselves in places and spaces that aren't good for us. Yeah, so that was a very, very, a very strong feature of the gospel. Yeah.
Martin.
Yeah, it's very much the voice aspect is what struck me, among other phrases in that reading, and possibly it's partly because at Caritas, our Lenten appeal, which I worked on, was hear the voice, answer the call, so it's always with me, and very often I don't really feel.
Martin, can you just, so now you're mentioning that you work with Caritas, and you're talking now about the Lenten appeal, the Caritas Lenten appeal, which is across the country. So the theme is.
Hear the voice, answer the call. I know Lent is over, but that theme and that theme of voice and call has been with me. When we say at Caritas, we work with Lent about 18 months of the year. But it's still there of tuning into Jesus' voice and hearing particularly what he's calling me to do. And I appreciate what you just said, Teresa, about being pushed and pulled in so many ways. There's so much going on, so many demands on us, and even in a Catholic organization, and working for justice and peace, there's so many demands and calls. You could be pulled in all sorts of directions, have to discern what is it that God is calling you to do and respond to in these particular circumstances. Yeah, it takes, I wouldn't say a lot of effort, but courage to really tune in to what Jesus is asking of you. And Peter was also in the second reading, Peter also mentioned patience in suffering. And that patience in suffering is grace. And that's a bit of a hard pill to swallow for me in this climate of war and injustice. Difficult to speak about patience and grace in suffering. But I love the apostolic letter of Saint Pope John Paul II, Salvifici Doloris, redemptive suffering, where we share in Christ's suffering, and when we see the cross, we see redemptive power, the redemptive power of his resurrection. John Paul II said, we find joy not in suffering, but in not in suffering itself, but in finding the meaning of the suffering. So that's really what struck me in this apostolic letter. So as Saint Paul says in Thessalonians, rejoice always. I'm wearing the shirt right now. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, and that includes suffering. Giving thanks in all circumstances,
is not for all circumstances, so we cannot give thanks to the injustice that's happening today. But even in the psalm, it says, even though I walk in the valley of darkness, which can be our suffering, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and staff that gives me courage. It's a beautiful promise that even though there is suffering, there is a promise of the Savior walking alongside us. So, because suffering can be redemptive, and I'm not downplaying this, the suffering of people experiencing, injustices and wars. And it's really not lightly. I'm not saying this lightly because it's really hard to fathom and to find the meaning of, of suffering. So, yeah.
Yeah, I often think it's very helpful to be able to take from the scriptures a line that can be used as a mantra in the days, weeks ahead. And of course, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want, is a great mantra. Like we could stay with that for a week or two. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not want, I shall not want. The other line that's a particularly helpful mantra for me is there at the end of the gospel reading, John chapter 10, verse 10, John 10, 10. I have come that you may have life and have this life in abundance. And there are some days where I do feel as though I'm living abundantly and some days not. But what I noticed a while ago is that the abundance hasn't got anything to do with the superficial happiness. Sometimes, in the midst of suffering, this is the point you were making, I think, Jolveen. Sometimes, in the midst of suffering, I can say, I am living abundantly. I remember complaining to a holy monk years ago about a situation I was finding myself in. And in the midst of my complaint, there were tears, and I was angry at, this or that or whatever was going on. And at the end of my outburst, I turned to this holy monk to solve my problem, and he just nodded. I said, "Look, no," I kind of nodded at him again and gestured. It was his turn to speak and to resolve all my difficulties. And he just said to me, "Well, John," he said, "you are really living." And I remember being really annoyed at him. I was angry. I mean, I didn't want to be told this, but in fact, what he was saying is the abundance of life that we are made for is found in the midst of the circumstances, whatever they are. And that's where suffering then has its meaning. I've come that you may have life
Absolutely.
and have it in abundance.
And have it abundantly. I think the other point to make about that reading is that it's when you suffer for doing what is good. And this is a grace before God, for this is you have been called. And it's that whole thing, it brought to mind, parihaka. When that unjust suffering with Tohu and Te Whiti, and they were insulted and they returned no insult, and they were suffered and they chose not to retaliate. It's a so countercultural, isn't it? It's just such a so different way of being in the world to what we see. And so thank God for to be reminded in the psalm, the Lord's my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. I'm it's it, if I've got the Lord in my life, I can manage this. And of course that, the example that he gave, that he suffered for us. And and I suppose it's in con it, today that would that a lot of people would see that as being a bit like a doormat. Somebody insults you get back at them. Goodness me, so it's so very different to perhaps some of the things that we do today.
But what a great freedom in that. What a great freedom in not being reactive to
Yeah.
whatever others do or say. I mean, I find it very difficult, of course it is. I note that one of the most popular books in the last few months has been a book by a woman called Mel Robbins called the let them
Let
theory.
them.
So if someone treats you badly, let them. If someone does it, let them. Let them, let them, let them. If I'm the only one it's affecting, look, let them. And there's extraordinary freedom in that. It's interesting that the book that says that, which we would think was the wrong thing, has become a bestseller and continues to be. Well, a take home, what would you offer as a take home today?
Oh, maybe the whole, in order to hear his voice, be still, in order to recognize his voice and the busyness of the world, of your life, the shepherd's there.
I have two takeaways actually. The first one is just a reminder that we are not alone in suffering. Christ suffered for us. Christ is suffering with us. So may we find meaning in our suffering and see the cross as our salvation. So we're still in the Easter season. And the other one is an invitation for everyone to please pray for our future priests and all of our vocations. So for all our vocations. So everyone has vocations. So yeah, thank you.
Thinking somewhat further about a call, a phrase from the first reading: for this promise is made to you and to your children and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call. Speaks to me of God's call down through all generations and at any time in our life, and it also links for me, John, with the entrance antiphon, entrance prayer, the merciful love of the Lord. It's always there for us who believe but may not follow too closely or go astray, but also for those who don't believe, God's call is always there. And it actually reminded me of a deep feeling I had once years ago when I was thanking God, sorry, for those in my family who first believed. Like I was, born, bred Catholic on both sides, but I don't know who of my ancestors first recognized Christ and responded, but it was a feeling of gratitude.
Wow.
And it's that call echoes down through all of history.
Great, Martin. And you make the point about the call, emphasizing that, and you both have as well, Teresa and Jolvin. I think the call, we often make the mistake of thinking the call of God is something that happens once, like our vocation. What is your vocation? Oh, well, back there in 1980, I decided. Back then, I felt the call and I answered. But in fact, the call of God is more like a magnet, just constantly drawing. And we can fight against the natural call, which we can do. I mean, we can draw, the magnet in its opposite direction. It's hard work. Or we can flow with it. And I would encourage all of those who are preaching this weekend, and especially diocesan priests, to speak about your experience of call and diocesan priesthood. You can talk about the readings, people won't remember much when you go home. If you talk about your own experience, it will stay with people. And the numbers, of course, people coming into the church and look, these numbers go up and down, and because we're not capitalist, we don't rely on numbers. We rely on what's really going on. But it is significant, for whatever reason, that just 5 years ago there were, I think, 12 diocesan seminarians, and now there's over 30, for Aotearoa, for our country. And could I finish just by saying too that there may be young-ish men who are quite sure that they're not good enough to be priests, that they may not be going to mass, they may, whatever. If you sense the call, follow that call. And very often, people in parishes, I know there are a number of people who are priests today or in the seminary because someone tapped them on the shoulder and said, "Have you ever thought of?" But we only think of tapping on the shoulder those who are at mass every day. But many of those who are in seminaries now weren't mass goers 10 years ago. So maybe the very people, if there's someone in their 20s perhaps or 30s who's very clearly searching and has no connection with the church, maybe to tap them on the shoulder and say, "Have you ever thought of considering priesthood?" It will shock them because they're not expecting it. But when we look at those who are in seminaries today, many weren't at Mass just a few years ago. Maybe that's our part, our vocation in this call to a greater vocation, that we may all have life abundantly. Let's pray in the collect, the opening prayer for this Sunday. Almighty ever-living God, lead us to a share in the joys of heaven, so that the humble flock may reach where the brave shepherd has gone before, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.